Listen up or run for cover. Dropping knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it. The real Robin Bradley Bums is dropping.
What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, I've got a real treat for you. I've actually got a double treat, actually. I was expecting my man, Willie Escobar, but he brought our other dude, our other friend in arms, Alberto Preciado. So now we've got Willie Escobar and Albert Preciado. Welcome to the show, fellas.
What up, Brad?
Man, just trying to freaking make a living. Trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
Life is tough.
What are you doing?
Oh, man, dropping bombs. Hey. So I have a question for you.
Ain't that the truth? Hey, that mic's hitting them glasses. Oh. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Right. You can also raise it up a bit if you want it near your mouth, not your chest. Am I about to interview your pecs?
My heart.
Hey, good answer, motherfucker. See, that's what I like about Willie, dude. He's a fucking sharp one, see? There, good one, good one.
Huh? All right, so can I cuss?
Hey. Whoa, yeah. That was a double good one. Okay, say it again. I mean, what was your question?
Am I able to cuss on your show? Because it's dropping bombs, right?
I don't know. Are you?
Fuck yeah. Let's good. Do this.
Okay. Mi casa su casa. I want you to feel nice and comfortable. If you'd like to cuss, feel free to do so. I just say express yourself, right? If you don't cuss, don't cuss. If you do, do. Now, folks, you might be thinking, well, who's Willie Escobar? Or some of you might be going, oh, dude, I know Willie. But Willie is basically in the mortgage business. You run a whole team, mortgage guys, correct?
Absolutely.
Now, you've been in the loan officer business for quite some time, since 02.
Long time. 18 since 02? Years.
See, you hear that squeaky-ass fucking chair, Albert, you're sitting on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, I hope outside you guys can hear us. That squeak, we can't squeak. We don't squeak. That stool needs replaced. Even if we got to get two new ones. Sounds like fucking Albert just farted. Lean over. Go like this. See? That's a robot farting.
Hey, all right, anyway. If you need any help, I could pitch in with some funds for you.
Yeah, well, hey, appreciate that. We'll talk about that after the show. Because as a matter of fact, you can help out and pitch in some funds.
We'll pitch in.
Good. Now, you've been in the mortgage business a long time, right?
Too long. And then, just kidding.
Yeah, but you were in the mortgage business a long time. Then you run into Albert. How'd you two meet?
All right, so we actually started with the same mortgage company.
What one?
Can I say it?
Oh, we don't want to promote it?
No. Oh. Well, they went out of business. Oh. So it's cool.
Oh. Anyway, you guys were working at the same one? Huh?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then what?
Same mortgage company. So I started in 02. He started in 06, right?
You were there 4 years previously.
Yeah. 5 going into 06.
So you showed up and you looked at Willie and said, ¿Qué pasó? Show me what to do. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. So old Willie was already there 4 years in the making.
It's already making money.
And you're basically selling mortgages.
Selling mortgages, making a whole bunch of money, blowing it all too.
What's a whole bunch mean?
I would say probably a little bit less than a mil. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And
like take home?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, right? But.
Well, no, it's easy to say. You just say.
Well, no, this is the thing.
But too many people are talking about big fucking 8, yeah. 9, 10 figure companies. And it's like, that's gross, dude. Listen, if you make $100 million and you only net $100,000,
yeah.
It's still $100 million. That company's valuation is massive. Like people overvalue net, and they undervalue like gross. Because again, another company can come into your company, say, oh, let's say I'm doing 50 million, but I'm only keeping 4 million. Well, another company could come in here and operate it completely differently than you, and maybe net 43 million. See what I'm saying?
Got it. So let's just say I was netting about half a mil.
Okay, so you were basically comfortable.
I was, but back then.
Where'd you come from, though? Was that big money to you?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, because
me too, dude. By the way, I grew up where $500,000 a year is freaking fat and happy. And by the way, you can be real comfortable on that.
Yeah, yeah, big time. So prior to the mortgage business, I was making $30,000 a year, and this was in 02. I was about 25, 26, and making 30 grand around the people that, like around my friends, that was pretty good money. Anytime you made above 30 grand, it's like you made it. Plus you have benefits, right? They give you you know, allowances. They give you a little bit of lunch money. It was big money. So going into the mortgage business, young, no kids, no wife, making really good money. But I was netting 500, but I was spending 500 too.
Sure.
I was probably spending 505.
Well, hey, haven't we all? And a lot of people are making that mistake, I'm telling you.
Yeah, big time.
And if I could go back, like I said, I'd do two things different. Everything else I'm pretty happy with, but two things different. Seek knowledge faster, mm-hmm. and invest money more wisely.
Surround yourself with the right people.
Well, that's yours. I would have done two things different because I've already, I think I've done that well this time.
Yeah.
I don't need a next time. Like if I went back, I would do two things different. I would seek knowledge faster because mm-hmm. I didn't realize there's shortcuts everywhere. People, we learned there's no shortcuts. Oh, there's shortcuts. They're everywhere. Okay. They're everywhere and you can take them and they save you time and money. Okay. But there's also some dead ends too. So be careful. But at the end of the day, dude, if I could go back, I'd seek knowledge faster because I didn't realize I could collapse time. And then I would also invest money more wisely. If I would have invested all the money that I've spent foolishly trying to impress people back, mm-hmm. like the seed money itself would be impressive as hell. Like I bet you I've blown $20 million stupidly over the years.
I've done a few mil. Not 20 mil, but...
Yeah, but if I had that back and 20 million invested at a 10% ROI, shit, that's $2 million a year extra that would have been coming in just from the money that I blew trying to look cool for everybody else. Now, that's just fucking stupid. It took me a long time to realize that. That's just stupid, right? You don't want to fucking impress anybody but yourself. And if I would have done that, people would be more impressed with me today. Anyway, like you actually would have accomplished something, but you spend it trying to impress people and guess what happens? It's like, fuck, dude, like I shouldn't have done all that.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
100%. So
that's how you got married.
Of course. So this is the knowledge I got when I got into the mortgage business. And we were probably told the same thing with Albert. You got to buy a fast car, got to buy rims. Got to put on a fancy watch. And then if you have a nice car, you have to go to nice restaurants. If you have a nice car, you have to get valet parking at the clubs. And when you go in the clubs, you have to get bottle service because you want to floss the fancy watch that you have.
And you have to, and you, good right there. Did you work that out?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like that.
So obviously that didn't work. Because when the market crashed, I was like, oh, shit. Like, there was no money saved. No money saved.
Well, now you're like 92% of America, by the way.
Yeah. Now, what's cool about now is...
I could take that back. You know what? You were very few lucky financially to be at that level. But mm-hmm. the second part, spending all you got.
Yeah.
There's 92% of the country spends more than they have. That's why everyone's in debt, mm-hmm. you know, and not good debt. But man, when you look back, isn't it easy to see where you went wrong?
Oh, big time. But that's one thing I wouldn't change about my past because I learned so much. Like I never regret anything, nothing at all. Everything was like a foundation to who I am right now. Now what's cool is that there's more information available. See, back when I got in the mortgage business, there was no Facebook, no Instagram. There were no mentors, you could say. It wasn't out there. But now there's so much information available that anyone that is still making those mistakes, that's really on them just because there's so much information available everywhere now.
Mm. You said you haven't regretted anything.
Nothing.
Now, it's either you're ruthless or you haven't really... done anything. Like I think I have, but
I'm not gonna talk about it.
How old are you?
44.
In 44 years, if you don't have anything that you regret, brother, you haven't really done anything.
Nothing I'm gonna admit to.
Well, see, then you have. See, you gotta keep shit real here at the Dropping Bombs Network. I'm working on that whole brand, Real. What do you think of that
brand, I love it.
Albert? Albert's got good branding, don't you think?
I love it.
Looks all. It always looks good. The blacks and the Ferraris and the epic hero picks.
From
the speakers and the events and the hero picks is what sells tickets or helps.
You know what I like about how you say Alberto? Can you do that for us?
Yeah, Alberto.
No, sometimes they say it like way sexy.
Well, I'm trying to do it like fucking a fight announcer. Like weighing in at 162 pounds, soaking wet, hailing from Zacatecas, Mexico.
What if
that's Sylvia.
What if it was a novella? How would you say Alberto?
What's a novella?
A soap opera.
Oh, it'd be Alberto.
There you go.
But I always say I just roll the R, bro. Here's the question. So you get a fast car, you have to have the fast rims. If you got the rims, right, then you got to go get the fancy watch.
Of course.
Now you got the fancy watch and the nice car, so you got to hit the nice restaurants. Then you're going to fucking valet your shit, mm-hmm. right? Which means you got to go to a club.
Club, and you got to impress all your friends.
Yeah, you got to impress all your buddies, and if you get a club, you got to get the bottle service. Otherwise, you're just a jerk off standing at the bar waiting for a drink.
And of course,
and by the way, at a busy bar, it's been so long. Okay, this is going to sound very, you know, snooty, but it's true, and it's not snooty. It's just a fucking fact. I hate lines. I won't wait in lines. Like when I go to Disneyland, we got to get a fucking host to say, hey, get us through. We ain't doing lines. Same thing with the bar. I won't just go to a bar unless I have a reserve spot with alcohol, ice, and waitresses. And you know what I mean? Like, I haven't been to a bar and stood there in a long time. What does that even feel like anymore? Do people go? Well, they do, because bars are packed. And most of them are at the bar just standing, or they're on the dance floor. So you get off the dance floor and you don't have a table. What do?
You go to the full bar.
I know, but you just stand there and look at each other.
Waste time.
You know, is everything, if you waste time, is there ever a time that it's not a waste of time?
No. It's always a waste of time if you're wasting time.
No. See, I disagree. I believe that if it's
purposeful. That's,
yeah. Like if you plan to waste time, then it's not wasted time.
Yeah. Like if you go to a club, you're probably going to waste 4 hours of your time anyway.
Yeah. But if it's planned wasted time, then it's not wasted time.
Okay.
Like if I said, hey, dude, I'm going to go just clear my head, spend 4 hours doing nothing. Well, that's planned to waste time.
And maybe something productive happen.
It will happen.
Okay.
Because sometimes, dude, you got to fucking relax, don't you think? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So anyway, you've shot the wad. And then what?
And then market crashed.
The market, which means the 2008 deal?
Absolutely.
All right. So you took a shit. No one needs a mortgage now. Hey, by the way, what's going on right now, dude? There's shit going on right now. Like, money's cheap. Is everyone clamoring for mortgages?
Money is super cheap right now.
Right. Is everybody clamoring for mortgages?
Big
yes
time.
Or no?
Yeah. Big time.
Well, why are you even here, dude? How come you ain't collecting them one after another? Bang, 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 bang. Like, are they everywhere?
Let's just say in the last few days, the phone's been ringing off the hook.
Yeah, because everybody wants to get a cheap locked in rate, right? Mm-hmm. While this whole thing's going down.
Low 3%.
But that's going to cause a problem, isn't it?
Could. Not See, for us.
No, not for, not not, for you not, guys. Just not like right not now. For Lightspeed, dude. You can't get fucking coronavirus on Lightspeed. There's classes and schools being shut down right now. The only way to learn is online.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean,
great product.
Well, dude, I mean, if your event or your training thing or your school shut down, how are you going to learn? You're not. You're going to learn online. Boom.
I think that's how a lot of kids should learn today.
Everyone's going to think this is going to help Lightspeed so much, I think, that people were going to try to claim that I started it.
Yeah. Are you guys in any schools?
Yeah.
Like high schools?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, not high schools. Right. I mean, actually, no, we are. Peoria School District uses Lightspeed, but they don't use it for the kids. They don't use it a fraction of what they should, and you just reminded me to get a hold of the Peoria School District, because that's my fault they're not using it right.
You're welcome.
I don't even think they know how to use it. Peoria School District, if you work in or you're listening to this and you're in the Peoria School District, especially a high-powered position, call me, or I'll be calling y'all.
Boom.
Yep. So yeah, few schools. But listen, this isn't about old Bradley, even though I'm getting a lot of hate on one episode because it's like, shut up and let that dude talk. So I'm like, dude, why would I let my guest speak? That's funny. Anyway, so you blew it all, and then the crash happened. Now you're screwed because you can't make it either.
Had just gotten married.
Ooh, wrong timing.
First child.
Already had the kid before it crashed? After?
After. Like during the crash, I had my first kid.
Damn. Now yeah. You're scared, obviously.
Oh, big time.
Now you're wondering what you think you're going to do.
Now my wife wants to leave me too.
Why?
Well, because we were broke. I mean,
so what? You better fucking tell her, look, lady.
I mean, as a result of...
Shit, if your wife leaves you because you're broke, she shouldn't have been your wife in the first place.
Yeah. I'll take that back because I know she's watching. So, love you, honey. Love you, baby.
Now she's going to be like, yeah, I hate that Bradley. But no. And yeah. I'll bet you that wasn't the story. She's probably saying, fuck you.
No, I'll tell a story. And by the way, shout out to TLC Realty. Love you guys. Just had to do that. It's my boy, Tom Chavez, TLC.
If you guys are wondering why he's doing this, because you're watching a recording, well, it's because he's got his own live going.
Come on, live.
He's on his live. He's talking to his followers and fans.
All right, so this is what happens when you have money problems, you start having relationship problems.
Yep. And when you got relationship problems, you have money problems.
Divorce. Yeah. But we didn't get divorced. We made it work.
Problems cause problems, bro.
Big time. Big time. And money solves problems. A lot of people talk about money is not important. I think money is very important.
Good.
Money gives you options. Money allows you to have your kids in any school you want them to be in. Allows you to travel, help your parents, retire young, buy real estate, pay money to be here with Brad. I didn't pay anything to be here, but have the money to invest in Lightspeed.
Yeah, being a client helps.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. So you've got an Elite Mortgage Academy, which is a three-day thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're making an interactive virtual version of it because you can't get to that many people fast enough.
Yeah.
But other than that, right now, currently, you have a mortgage company, correct?
That's correct. So I'm Albert's partner. I have a few of the branches with the mortgage guys. Amazing company, by the way.
Now, mortgage guys. Now, can anybody come work there, or can anyone walk in and get the same kind of deal, opportunity? Can they open up mortgage guys' offices?
The right people, yes.
How do they, what do? Call you? Go to elitemortgageacademy.com?
No, to work for the company, they contact the mortgage guys. Best way to contact the mortgage guys, Albert?
Careers at the mortgage guys,
folks. If you might want to make money, because I don't know where the story gets good, but you started making money again.
Absolutely.
And now you're again, you just mentioned what you're doing now, so it must have went well.
Yeah, it went well. So
were you broke when you saw it, or did the business pick up?
And then how you mentored people like Andy and Melissa would be a good.
Yeah, so I have a few people that I've mentored, but I've always loved training. I've always loved helping people, coaching people. That's one of my passions. So what I started doing throughout the years, I've probably coached about 300 lenders to be successful. Well, of course, some choose to be successful, some don't. But I decided about maybe 8 months ago to put together Elite Mortgage Academy. Why? Because a lot of people were reaching out. Willie, will you hire us? Albert, will you hire us? And no one has time for training. That's the truth. I did hire a few people, right? And they're extremely successful now. But it takes a toll on you to train people. So I saw that there was something missing in the market, and that's why I opened up Elite Mortgage Academy. So it's a three-day training where I teach people how to go from zero knowledge to becoming a successful loan officer. And then there's a support after, of course.
Where's that? Pasadena or something?
Pasadena. Pasadena. And very soon on Lightspeed TV.
It's VT, bro.
Oh, Lightspeed VT.
Yeah, if you go TV, it's a porn site. You know that, right?
I've never watched porn.
Pull up Lightspeed TV. Yeah, go there. It's a porn site. That's where I got the name Lightspeed VT from. I was on the porn site, and I'm like, fuck it. I'll just turn this around.
Nice.
All right, so let me go back only because I want to connect it dots, right? So you were broke, okay?
Is it really a porn site?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny,
dude. Now you want to see a true badass? You want to see a successful motherfucker, dude? Huh, Albert?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go to successfulmotherfucker.com. Now, you were broke, eight hit. You couldn't do nothing. Now you're scared. Your chick wanted to leave. Everybody's, your whole life's crashing. Mm-hmm. How'd you get back on your feet?
I called Albert.
No shit?
Yeah.
So you called. What was Albert doing?
I don't know. He ignored me for a few weeks.
Albert, what were you doing?
I was already in the mortgage business. I was doing.
Well, so was he. But the mortgage thing crashed. Yeah.
So after it crashed, I took about a...
Didn't it crash for you? Didn't I see your video where you're all lonely on the streets, sleeping in a truck?
I was sleeping in my Ford Explorer, but I was still working.
I know, but when I want
to... So I got out for 2 years.
I know, but I want to dot it.
All right.
I'm mentally watching your life here, and last okay. I hear, you're in the mortgage business, kicking ass, taking names, but you're blowing all your money, okay? I did the same shit in the car business. But Okay. Boom, we're still broke. We just blew through a bunch of money, had some good memories. But now the mortgage industry had crashed where nobody wants a mortgage. You can't sell a mortgage. You can't make any money. Didn't that happen to both of you? Well, obviously.
It did,
but you said he came 4 years after you.
Yeah, but I got out of the mortgage business for 2 years.
After what? 2008?
After it crashed, yeah.
Which was 2008?
Correct. I got
What'd out for you do years. In 2008?
I stayed in the business, but my income dropped, so that's how I became homeless, and I stayed in the car. I slept in the...
But you just kept in the business.
My income dropped from $260,000. Okay.
And what'd you do? Yeah, you were broke, and then what'd you do?
I did life insurance for 2 years.
Yeah, so you quit the mortgage and said, I'll sell life insurance. Did you make any money doing that?
I was pretty good at it.
Did you make any money?
Enough to pay the bills.
All right, good. And then you, obviously, your path was, dude, you just stuck with it, but, you know, lived in the street, basically.
Yeah, but my income dropped to 60,000. But then
that's good, though. 60 grand, you can live a decent little existence, can't you?
Not the same life that you lived at 240,000.
Well, of course not.
So it dropped, I lost everything, and then next year...
But so you were blowing money, too.
Oh, dude, I was like the Wolf of Mexico.
Yeah, so basically you guys were both blowing all your money, living at a high lifestyle, and then something happened where you couldn't do it anymore, and now you, even though you were still getting $5,000 a month, you owed 20, which means now you're people are out to look for you. You owe them $15,000 a month, somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I think everyone needs a mentor now, so, or at least, like, you know, look for the right information, because it's
I've got out it. There. I'm the mentor. 100,000. What'd you give me, Albert? 40?
50.
Yeah, well, again, that was only for the year, dude. That's over with now. Yeah, now all my new shit, I'll release my new pricing soon, fellas. I'm getting everything structured and organized.
They gave you a Ferrari.
No. Again, my accounting says I paid for that. I paid for it. No, you only gave me it for a few months.
No, you didn't.
Yep. Well, we'll do the math.
You're telling us
that. No, I had to pay that guy down in your office that wrote checks. What's his name?
He used to work there.
What's his name?
Luciano?
Yeah, Luciano. Me and Luciano were friends for quite some time.
Luciano.
Hey, but anyway, look, here's the bottom line. You made a comment, no one has time for training. Most people won't admit that. You know what they do? They say, oh, we train, but they don't really actually train. And when you say no one has time for training,
I didn't everyone, say that.
Yeah, you did.
I said that they don't.
I got it recorded, bro. You want me to hit rewind?
Hit it.
I guarantee you said no one has time for training.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, but you did.
No. Let's go back.
You want to make a bet?
Let's do
How
it.
Much?
$100.
How about 1,000?
Done.
Okay, so after this podcast, we're going to go listen to it.
Okay.
And when you say, no one has time for training, you owe me $1,000.
Done. I got my card with me.
Everybody heard it. You're making me want to end this podcast, but now I know there's $1,000 waiting for me, but at the end of the podcast.
Got it.
But if you say you didn't say it, well, then I can't ask you any more questions.
That's okay, but we have a bet going, right?
That's right.
We can't shake, but I'll take your word.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So Albert was broke because $5,000 a month sounded like, come on, dude, you got a little money. But $5,000 a month when you owe 20 is not any money. Matter of fact, people are out to get you. It's scary. So you were broke, you bailed and said, dude, there's no money in this business.
There was like zero money.
But there was in life insurance.
Yeah.
So you could pay your bills and stay afloat.
Yep.
And you had a family.
Yeah.
And the wife was probably being very thankful at this moment.
Very, very thankful.
Yeah, because, dude, you basically went out and saved the day. Did she work at all?
Yeah, speech therapist.
So between her and you, you guys fed the bills and
enough,
lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't taking extravagant vacations.
Our vacations were maybe to like San Diego.
Well, but and only for 2 days too, right?
No, for like half a day.
Yeah. So, dude, that's interesting. And then Albert, he said, screw this. I only know mortgages. So he just kept plugging.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Dude, well, we can hear you.
I didn't want to get out of the business. I wanted to stay in the business because I just didn't want to change.
Okay, so you kept going. How long did it take for you to start, for the mortgage biz to start coming back?
It was just 1 year. Like, so 1 year I dropped to 60,000. I couldn't pay anything. I had a bunch of collections. I was doing bad. But then I said, I'm going to rebound. And then the following year I got up to 100. And then I just started doubling every year. 200, 400.
So it started bouncing back the industry.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought that I had a talent and ability. But I had bad priorities. I had bad toxic people around me, people with bad habits. So I was going around and, you know, chasing skirts, drinking alcohol, drugs, getting DUIs and doing all that stuff. And that's what knocked me down. But then I stopped slowly. So every year I improved. And then I got to the point where I was able to lend you a Ferrari and sleep over at your pad. 10 years
later. Well. I wouldn't use that as the apex of your accomplishments, but yes, indeed, that is true as well. Now, how did you guys meet each other then? So you went there and then you said you were broke. You got out of there and then you called Albert. Now, Albert was still doing mortgages and you remember Albert from the company that went bankrupt.
Yeah, so
you guys knew each other.
We actually had some pretty cool parties at his place that he had
before. Yeah, but you guys were just buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one had Ferraris and shit. You guys were just regular old people.
Yeah, so I saw him on Facebook, and he would always post a picture of how many deals he had in escrow. And I was like, man, this guy has 10 in escrow, and I have one. So I reached out to him, and I was like, dude, let's go to lunch. And he ignored me maybe like for a few weeks or a month. And he finally agreed. I was like, all right, let's go.
That was a last-minute agreement.
It was?
So it was like, just go.
So I met with him and I asked him what's working for you, right? Because obviously he was doing way better than I was. And he said, follow Grant Cardone. And I didn't even know who Grant was back then, right? Because he was not popular back then.
How did you find him?
Me?
Yep.
Grant?
Yep.
I was driving one day to the gym because I was doing good, but this was before me and Willie met, but I used to drive to Equinox, park my Honda Civic that was beat. And like three blocks away, parking from Equinox, and just walk and hope nobody would see me. And I would go to Equinox because there was a lot of hotties, a lot of hot girls. And I like working out when next to hot girls because they kind of up your testosterone a little bit. It helps you lift heavier weights. And I like looking at beautiful people. So I was there working out, and I also saw a lot of successful people, guys that had nice exotic cars. So that would pump me up and motivate me. And one day I was driving.
How did you find Grant?
One day I was on my drives from L.A., the ghetto, all the way to Sunset Plaza, so West Hollywood. It was like a 40-minute, 50-minute drive because of traffic.
Just to work out?
Yeah, because I wanted to be in the right environment.
That's right. So, were you doing that on purpose or accidentally?
On purpose. I wanted to see hot girls and I wanted to see guys with money. And the guys with money would drive Lambos, Ferraris, and Rolls Royces. So I used to drive there. On my drive there, I used to listen to my audiobooks. And one day I ran into his audiobook, the Sell to Survive or Sell...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that book.
Sell or Be Sold.
And that's how I... Sell to Survive, the original one.
Oh, okay.
That was the first book. And then that's how I came about Mr. Grant Cardone.
Because you were looking to learn how to sell?
Yeah, because, I mean, I wanted to get better. But he was very energetic and very motivating. So I liked the way Grant spoke and his energy, and then I liked it. So I ended up, you know, meeting Grant Cardone.
Hey, and then he told you, follow Grant.
Follow Grant. Stop hanging around with people that aren't serving you. And number three, what was number three? I forgot. It was like, be smart with your time, hire an assistant. It was like three or four things.
Well, I told you to get rid of all the losers, like all the people that were... like that were that had limited beliefs and negative people and bad habits and create new relationships. And like, I'm actually really proud that Willie is like I think I'm more proud and excited than Willie, him being here with Dropping Bombs and creating a new relationship with one of my best friends, Brad. And and then you meet Brad, and then you're going to meet more people, and you're just going to keep growing and becoming more powerful. Because it's all about relationships, I think. Right, Brad?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, how many people have you introduced me to?
A bunch. No? I don't know. I don't count, really. You know, hang around the office for a week, you'll meet a whole bunch of people. There's people coming in and out of here all day long. Crazy people. Like, it's like the other day I was sitting there thinking, like, damn, dude, like Tim Grover was in, and then this person was in, and then Milette was in, and then, you know, Grant was in, and then freaking this person was in. It's like, dude, people come in and out of here. It's like, I that's why I started this podcast. I said, man, I just got to set these people down and pick their brain.
Nice.
But then the podcast turned into just having conversations with pretty much anyone that I wanted to freaking ask some questions to see what they did to get past shit. And then it turned into being now, you know, a top-rated podcast, thankfully, to my bomb squad. If you're in the bomb squad, by the way, you're listening to these, the bomb squad, dude. I'm going to start making some merch, get some shirts out there. If people start hitting it up, telling me that they actually want it, because, dude, bomb squad's a cool name. Who's in the bomb squad? Raise your hand. Hashtag bomb squad, hashtag Brad Lee. Let me find you on Instagram, give away some shirts. Some cash, some prizes. I want to figure out how to get a few people from the bomb squad into Vegas for a party.
I wear a size medium.
Little private party for just people in the bomb squad. Come hang out and fucking party with Brad Lee. I'll bring up old Alberto because you guys party. Willie might come up.
Can I show this on the way in?
You know what I ought to do? I ought to make it Founders Coin only. Founders Coins only. Anyway, bomb squad, pay attention. I'll drop some stuff on my social media. So if you guys aren't following me on social media too, make sure you do, please.
Anyway, I think everyone's following you.
I don't know. 200 and some thousand are, but I'll bet you a bunch of them are freaking robots. I don't know. I can tell you this though. I wish I had a button that could delete any uninterested party.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Like in other words, if they're not interested, no BL. And they accidentally follow me one day. I don't mind if they linger because they might sometimes scroll through my stuff. But if somebody's following me to get a set of luggage or anything like that, don't follow me at all, kids. Just keep on scrolling. I ain't saying nothing important. If you're listening to this podcast for your first time, by the way, and you're like, damn, dude, this is a good podcast. Well, shit, you can go back to episode one and listen to all 250 and probably hear some you love, hear some you hate. But that's the thing. It's not for everybody. That's what I was telling you earlier. But that's why I bring on people. That's why I'm like, shit, dude, I want to get to the bottom of what Willie did. Because, dude, like what you're saying, he told you, follow Grant Cardone. Now, again, some people are like, oh, I don't want to follow Grant. It ain't Grant. It was that you started seeking knowledge. Remember what I said earlier? You started seeking knowledge. He said, get rid of the freaking idiots in your life dragging you down and making you believe you're an idiot, too. Dude, that's just the right shit to do. Success leaves clues. Where'd you learn it from? Books, tapes, DVDs, observation?
I always been into self-improvement, but one day my dad took me with him to paint in Beverly Hills, and I saw mansions and Ferraris and Rolls Royces, and I asked him how come we didn't have that. And he told me because those things are not for us. So I became really motivated and really driven.
It pissed you off?
And it pissed me off, and it just gave me this insane amount of drive. And when I went to elementary school, they made fun of me, and nobody gave me a shot. I was the underdog. They called me wetback. They used to make fun of my accent, and I had everything against me. So that drive just kept me going. And when the mortgage business got bad, I told my dad, I'm never going to quit. And I was just determined to stay in the mortgage business, even if I died. And I stayed, and then I slept in the Ford Explorer, and I did everything right there, from like work to sleep to sex. And go to the gym, work out. And I was so broke, I used to sneak into the gyms to take a shower and then go back to work at Starbucks. And I just think that if you really believe in something and you never, as long as you don't give up, you don't quit, nothing's going to stop you.
No.
I think Willie saw a great opportunity with the mortgage industry, And I think maybe he could answer this, but I think maybe the people he was hanging around with told him, "Hey, the market is bad. Maybe you should try something else." So he tried the other business, the
insurance
business. But then he realized that, you know what, I'm really.
No, he saw you. He said you just heard what he said. He said he was watching you online doing better than him. So he recognized that shit, Albert's fucking doing it.
Yeah, so what happened was, I want to say 99.5% of everyone in the mortgage business got out. Everyone got out. There was a few people like Albert that...
Albert says, I ain't going anywhere.
No, he stayed there.
Because people still needed loans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and by the way, that's how you picked up a few pennies, is because nobody was there. Like, you literally probably got a lot of business you wouldn't have got if it was overcrowded.
There's a real story that is going to happen again. That is the main reason why I stayed and why it worked out.
What's going to happen?
Because we're going to have another recession. And what happened is...
Dude, this coronavirus is about to be the start of it.
It could be. But the recession happened back... Maybe I have the coronavirus. You never know.
Yeah. Well,
that's why he's not shaking hands.
Yeah. So...
You're talking about me. Yeah, I ain't shaking no one's hand. Especially from a coronavirus region. Where are you guys out of?
LA.
Oh, yeah, there's Corona down there, ain't there?
Corona.
There's Corona Del Mar.
Hey, so the recession happened, and it happened because they started coming up with all these easy loans. You know, like people from Jack in the Box qualified for $1 million loans, as long as you had a good credit. Stated income loans, negative ARM loans.
They were basically letting anyone strap on a payment.
Yes. So that led to the recession, and everybody lost their homes. And now what's happening is slowly they're giving all these loans back. So they're giving stated income loans.
Again?
Yes.
So now anyone can buy a house.
Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah, you need a big down payment now. So it is getting a little bit easier.
No, no, no. If you need a big down payment, that is enough, I think, due diligence by a bank.
No, well,
it ain't their fault. Because again, if you come in here and say, hey, you want this $3 million house, and I say, give me $900,000 down and you got it, I believe you can pay for the other 2.1.
Well, now they're getting a lot of easy options, and it's getting easier and easier to give loans. But the mistake that most people did, 99% of the people did last time, was that everybody forgot how to do full document loans. And that's why it's very important to train people right now. Because all the new kids on the block that have a lot of potential, if they train and they learn how to properly do loans, like Willie trains, right? Like I train, we're going to teach these new kids on the block how to do real business, ethical business. And a lot of the loan officers that are being trained by the wrong people, they're taking a lot of shortcuts. And what's going to happen is when the recession comes, they're not going to know how to do full document loans. And they're probably going to end up losing their licenses because all their clients are going to lose their homes. So it's really important right now to be in the right culture, to be in the right environment, and to be around good, ethical people, hardworking people that are going to train and teach these young kids how to get their license. So when the recession happens, they'll still be in business.
I think that when the recession happens, everyone that has been specializing with guidelines, doing business the right way, they're going to be okay. Because what a lot of companies do nowadays, they just train on sales. Like, I think sales is important, right? Like, you could sell a car all day long in a recession. But when there's a recession, you have to be great at something like real estate or doing loans. Otherwise, you're going to sink. That's something we do all the time with at the Mortgage Guys, is train people, like, all the time. That's one thing I'm going to be doing with my VT. Coming up is training new loan officers, any loan officers that have 2 years or less in the business, maybe 3 years or less in the business, how to become successful. Then we're going to transition them over to the company if that's what they want to do and have them become successful.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, really important. Hopefully you could add this to the interview, but to the podcast. But Robert Kiyosaki, you know Robert Kiyosaki?
Just spoke with him.
Okay, Robert Kiyosaki said, right now, you want to be part of a startup company, not an older company, because every 20 years, companies get replaced by technology and all the new trends. We specialize in technology and social media. Mm-hmm. So social media is the biggest equalizer for huge companies like a New American, a Bank of America, a Chase Bank, they have a lot of, they you can't do anything because you have to get approvals from level 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We are able to take action right away. We could do marketing through social media. We have the technology that we're investing in. So I think that, I really think that, that we're just going to take off. And if you look on Facebook, Instagram, we're all over the place, the mortgage guys. So I think we are the future. I think it's a huge opportunity for anybody in the mortgage industry and real estate, because we also have a sister company for real estate, to reach out to us and grow with us, because they could be part of something really big right when it's getting started, right in the beginning stage, and they could end up getting paid a lot of money and becoming wealthy.
Now, you called him because you saw him doing good. Mm-hmm. You're still like paying bills, but you're not loaded.
Probably $60,000 a year.
Yeah, but you,
and that was
W-2. But you were jumping back in the mortgage because you said you had one deal and you saw this dude having 10. But you remember him from before or no?
I did.
Okay, but so you're like, oh, fuck, Albert's doing pretty good.
He was the only one on social media.
I know, but see again, timing. But at the end of the day, you say, oh, fuck, Albert. Now you're watching him. You don't even know he's watching you, but he's watching you. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Albert's got 10, I got one. Well, that Albert ain't rich yet. He's just got like 10 deals. You got one. You recognize, dude, what's he doing?
I think that's something that's always helped me is I reach out to someone that's doing good.
Well, again, that's where I was driving to, mm-hmm. which is emulation.
Yeah, big time. Everything. Because,
and not only that, most people aren't, you just thought this up. When I say, well, how'd you know that? How'd you know that? I don't know. It's like, it was almost inherent knowledge. Like, I don't know. You're just like, dude, he's got 10. I wonder what he's doing. Like, to me, I would naturally do the same thing. I'd be like, wonder what he's doing. So when you start looking at these quote unquote successful people, most successful people, I think, are a little bit inquisitive and competitive. But if I'm looking at Albert and I'm in the mortgage business, he's in the mortgage business, I'm thinking, dude, what's he doing? Yeah. Some people wouldn't have called him and said, let's do lunch.
No. I think most successful people ask a lot of questions, right? They want to learn from someone. They'd rather listen than talk about themselves and, oh, I made it big because of all this. Like we've been in events where we've been in front of successful people. They're mostly listening. Yeah. I think that's a big quality. Not only that, but I think when you're not doing good, you need to learn from someone that is, and you have to be humble enough to say, okay, that's working, and like take the chip off your shoulder. Like so many people nowadays, they don't want to say they're not doing well. Yeah. They don't want to say, I need to learn from this person.
So you were humble enough and intelligent enough to say, hey, this guy's doing better than me. Plus, I know him. That helps. So you reached out. You blew him off for a little while, but eventually, obviously, you said, okay, let's go to lunch.
Yeah, well, it was funny because it was a quick story. I'm in the kitchen with Sil. We're living off a one-bedroom apartment.
Okay.
And we just started the mortgage guys, like, we're like a year into it.
But that was mortgage guy.
The mortgage guy. It was a mortgage guy before I got another mentor, Patrick Bedavid, who's another great guy, before we added the S. But I remember telling Sil, no, I can't hang out with people that are not doing better than me, like Willie was talking about. And that was part of my principles. I cannot hang out with people that are not better than me. I got to get better. I got to learn because I was also in the building stage. And then I was about to like just make up an excuse or not answer or just not go. And then Sales said, well, because you were already there. You were like close. You were like, oh, I'm like 5 minutes away. And then I was close to that coffee shop or to that panini cafe. And Sales said, well, he's already here. Just go. And I'm like, okay. So I went. And then Willie was driving a Prius.
07 Prius.
Yeah, an 07 Prius. And I think he was making, he could correct me if I'm wrong, about 80 grand a year. He had a family, he had a wife, he had 4 kids. And he was just gotten back into the mortgage industry. I get there in my Maserati. So everybody sees the Maserati. But that was when I first said, you know what? I got to get attention because I was listening to Grant. So Grant talked about, get attention. So you know how Grant's a great marketer?
Yep.
So I said, marketing is the way to go right now. It's a new trend. It just started. Let's get into it. So I got a Maserati before I could afford it. But then hoping that it would make me get attention and get me more business. And it did. So I got attention, and that's probably why Willie saw me, because he was like, damn, he's driving a Maserati and doing all these deals.
Is that right?
Well, a car says a lot about someone, especially like when everyone's doing bad and one of your buddies is driving a nice car. Yeah, it says a lot.
Because a Maserati was different than a Beamer or a Mercedes. It was like next step up. So I go there and I meet with Willie, and then we just talk, and then he could tell the story, and then
about what though?
I was just picking his brain, what was working.
And what were you telling him? Follow Grant.
Answering his well.
Hold on, you said follow Grant. You said
follow Grant.
You said get rid of the losers.
Get rid of the losers.
And whatever the third one was, you started doing that
right away.
Right,
and right away. So I remember, I think I had like $1,000 in my account. And I looked up Grant, and he had like a webinar special for Grant Cardone, or for Cardone U. It was $9.97. So I spent $9.97, and I think I had $1,000 in my account.
So you risked spending all your money.
Yeah, I
logged in. Everything. You started watching Grant.
So I started losing my sleep. I started waking up.
Grant, but you started watching Grant.
Started watching Grant.
Okay, and then you were watching Grant still. Mm-hmm. So you both are on the Grant balls.
Yeah.
The Grant jock. You're on Grant's nuts. Okay, a lot of people are. Nothing wrong with it. He's got some good shit. Like, dude, again, Grant's a hustler, dude. Listen to him. You're going to be fucking hustling too. And if you hustle, you make money. But so again, I'm making it funny by saying you're on Grant's nuts. But you guys were basically listening to Grant every day, doing the hustle. And next thing you know, what?
Started making money.
Okay, you started making money. That's you're still not the mortgage guys.
No, I think about I was part of another company.
When did Albert say, "Hey, dude"?
Well, the day we had lunch, he just told me really quickly. By the way, whenever you want to join, just let me know. I'll cut you a deal, and that was it. He just like planted the seed. But see that's why it's
see important. He probably made it up on the spot too, didn't you?
Yeah, I think he did.
He was there going, "Hey, if you want to join, let me know."
Yeah. So eight
join
months
what?
Later.
The and mortgage
later,
guy.
Yeah, I joined the mortgage guys.
No, mortgage it was the mortgage time. Guy still.
Mortgage guy.
And dude, when I met you, I told you to get mortgage guys. I don't know why you always give credit to Bet David.
Look, I think
one. I told him, dude, you need offices everywhere. Well, you need generals everywhere.
Well, Brad, you remember me the first time you met me, right? Where I said hi and you kind of left my...
I remember you from 10X, dude. That's what I don't remember you in the elevator when you said I looked at you and, you know, yeah. I didn't look at you. Fuck, I didn't even...
Really remember that.
I know, but dude, I don't remember you in no elevator. Yeah, I remember you... The first time I remember you... Listen.
You didn't pay attention to me.
No. That's because I don't... That's why I don't remember, bro.
Like I said hi...
The first time I remember you... The first time... If someone said, tell me the first time you met Albert. I met Albert when he walked up and offered me that watch... To like spend an hour with me or something. Pick my brain.
That's balls.
Yeah. And what did I say to you?
You don't have to give me your watch.
Yeah. I said, dude, I ain't taking your fucking watch. Why? I ain't taking a dude's watch. Now, I also didn't really know that I knew what I knew. You see what I'm saying? Like, to me, it was just, I didn't know anything. What the fuck are you asking me for? You know, I don't have any secrets. But when you look back, you start to realize, oh, shit. I had a lot of fucking secrets. I could have been making and charging and putting doing all this for big money. I just didn't. Why? Well, because I had Lightspeed. I had a company. I'm like a real company. I'm not selling courses. I'm fucking running a real company trying to grow and scale. And I got 80 employees and freaking, you know, FICA and freaking, you know, HR issues and all that crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had a business to run. I was just speaking there. When he walked up and said, I'll give you this watch. I said, you ain't got to give me your watch. Call me or whatever. Well, then
that was in Miami, right? The first growth.
Yeah, but then the next time I remember him, he called and he said he wanted to show up to
and
the office.
And he just showed up.
Yeah, so I think he called. He called first, said he wants to come by. I said, come in. So he came in and then basically said, so what do you guys do here? And I told him what I did. And he said, so what's it like a good package? And so I told him, he's like, here. So he just wanted to buy my best package, and he thought that would literally, you know, get him to be my friend. Well, that wouldn't have done it alone. In other words, a lot of people pay us big money, and I'm not hanging out with them on the weekends. But at the end of the day, that's what he did. So the first time I remember him, he was offering me that watch, right? But he said before that, we interacted a couple times. I don't remember. Now, why is that? because he wasn't offering me a watch.
Right? Or value at the time.
Or any value. Because again, dude, I don't remember seeing him in an elevator. I don't remember seeing him anywhere. And the first time I remember seeing him, he came up and I knew he saw me, but I had spoken. So I wasn't surprised that he knew who I was. I just got off stage not too long ago. So everybody knew who I was at that event. So he just came up. Hey, I'm like, hey, another dude saying how great I was. So I'm like, hey. And then he said, if I give you my watch, will you coach me or spend an hour or something? And I'm looking at it. I already know what it is. It's fucking gold Rolex. I'm like, shit, dude, that's a good one right there. And then I felt dumb taking it. So I said, you don't need to give me your watch. I should have said, fuck yeah, give me that watch. Let's schedule it right now. He probably would have gave me that watch and I would have got a watch on top of what he gave me when he walked in the door. But again, you gave that to my company, dude. You didn't give Brad Lee any revenue. You gave it to my company. The company is, you know, I'm obviously the Mac Daddy shareholder, but.
Yeah, but I use so many marketing techniques that I have inside my Driven Academy, which it's your Lightspeed, right? Great, best training platform.
It's everything you did, though.
Yeah, but
it's all your tricks.
I applied like three of my marketing techniques on you and they work marvelously. Like, for example, the Ferrari technique. I lend you my Ferrari. Like you obviously go to sleep with Melissa, right?
Of course.
But you were waking up to Albert.
No, I wasn't.
Because every morning you woke up in the Ferrari and you would remember Albert.
Half the time, dude, I left it in the driveway and took the Raptor. Because Ferraris, like, you know, I thought you couldn't just drive them every day. And then I'm like starting to put miles on my Raptor. There's like 2,000 miles on it. I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm parking the Raptor and driving the Ferrari because I don't know how long I'm going to have it. Albert could want it back at any time. So I'm like, fuck, I'll just drive this bitch.
Not a bad car to drive.
No, it's a great car to drive. Yeah. But then he started sending me an invoice. I'm like, oh, fuck, thanks for the gift. So then I fucking started paying for the motherfucker. And then I thought, why the fuck am I blowing money on a goddamn Ferrari? I don't even need a Ferrari. So then I fucking said, fuck it. You know, I'll just keep it for another month or another two. And then I'm like, fuck it, dude. Hey, come get your fucking Ferrari if you want. And you know what you said? I'll get it in a month or something. And it was another like 2 or 3 months before he ever got it. So I got 3 or 4 months free again. And now I love fucking Ferrari. So I went and ordered a black.
You did?
Well, yeah, but I've never gotten it. It's still ordered.
That's another of my marketing. That's like,
I know, but it's still ordered, dude. I haven't got my Ferrari, but now I'm hooked on a Ferrari, dude. I didn't know they were such badass fucking cars. Dude, Ferrari's the car for sure.
What kind are you getting?
488. Well, now an F8, which I hear bottom's falling out, which, by the way, in a Ferrari, that doesn't mean much. But have you heard about them F8s?
Yeah.
What about them? The bottom's falling out of them?
They're beautiful, yeah.
Well, again, that's what they turned the 488 into.
Yeah.
But I'll buy a used one if I have to. I'm getting a 488, period.
Dude, I'm
not. The F8's not coming in my deposit. It's just sitting there. So supposedly it was six months ago. There's another thing I'll tell you, but offline.
Well, can't wait to hear it.
No. I don't know who it would affect, and I'm not gonna talk public for private biz. Anyway, so that's how I met old Albert Preciado. And then he called, and then he's doing decent. You call him, you're like, how'd you have 10? Boom, boom, boom. Now you start kicking ass. You're starting to do self-development. He came to you one day with a seed and said, hey, you want to do mortgage guys? When you were ready, you called him. You guys whipped out some sort of deal and just you basically opened up a branch office.
Yeah, right away. So I got my first office in, I think it was 2015. Small office, maybe 300 square foot office.
And now where is it?
It's about 1,500.
Nice.
I have two offices, one in Pasadena, one in Whittier.
And you don't need a big office if you're doing mortgages.
You don't. Honestly, you don't. I think that's a thing of the past. Like before the market crashed, I had an office that was like 7,500 square feet.
Dude, this is like 30,000 square feet.
I know. This is badass, by the way.
I know, but dude, I've said to...
Do you need it?
No, I've said to my partner, because Jason Straub, the CTO, he owns a fucking chunk. And I've told him, dude, we really... are over, like, we don't need this. A lot of people could work virtually from home nowadays. So all of this is really just flexing because I don't need it. But guess what? I can use it. I'll use it. It's being used. But do I need it? No. And when you're doing mortgages, that's just processing, right? Really?
Pretty much, yeah.
Interesting. But you got to find them. You got to drum up the business. So you started teaching people. You started the Elite Mortgage Academy.
Elite Mortgage Academy. So
and
I...
And hold on, though, because really, you basically started... We don't have much time left, and mm-hmm. I want to get to a good point, because ultimately, you reached out, which is the bomb. You reached out. You emulated what Albert was doing. Mm-hmm. You actually did what he told you to do. It actually started doing, obviously, better for you. And then you guys made a deal, started kicking ass. Then you started saying, look... We need to train people. You're passionate about training people.
Love training people.
Yeah, so you started training people at this Elite Mortgage Academy, and you've helped hundreds of people, like double, triple, quadruple
I've
their income.
A lot of people. So one thing I've done in my mortgage career, I've always looked at what's missing in the business. That's mm-hmm. one thing I started doing in social media. Well, me and Albert, is that we started promoting mortgages, because prior, let's say, years ago, mortgages, it was kind of like a boring thing, right? So we started doing the social media, the nice videos, you know, all the marketing. But one day, I was thinking, I've trained so many people, a lot of people reach out, and they want mortgage training. I just don't have the time. And at the same time, people that want mortgage training for free, like anything that's for free, has no value for no one.
Except love.
So I told my wife, we're putting together this thing called Elite Mortgage Academy. This is how much we're going to charge. And within 2 months, it was our first class, and we've had four so far sold out. And it's amazing. So people are learning.
Everybody wants to know.
Everyone wants to know how to make money. How to, you know, have a great life. And we don't just talk about mortgages. We talk about mindset, lifestyle, we talk about credit, investing, a whole bunch of things. So it's 3 whole days with me.
Nice. Yeah. And how many people are usually there? Is it intimate?
About 15.
Yeah. So it's not like thousands.
No, it's very intimate. This one coming up, there might be 20 to 30 people, because now a lot of people are hearing about it. Now they want to be part of the movement. And now they want to join the company too, which helps us, right? We charge them a fee. We give them everything that we have.
And duplicate your success.
Yeah, absolutely.
See how that's why I say, man, you guys should have thousands of offices across the country.
It's going to get there
real soon.
Right, Albert?
I know you have a training system to give people the information, make sure that they understand it, and give them literally the step-by-step as to how you both did it. So ultimately, man, I appreciate you coming out here, but if someone's sitting there thinking, dude, how do I get a hold of these fools? Well, Willie, obviously, the Willie Escobar, on Instagram.
That's right.
You can Google him, I'm sure. The Mortgage Guys obviously is Googleable. That's getting bigger and bigger. There's multiple offices with that. Albert Preciado is
people don't understand, like, Willie went from the Prius making 80 grand to cracking a million in less than 2 years.
So, who was the top producer for last year?
Dude, last year Willie was the top earner. He made well over a million. And he's getting closer to that 2 mil mark. So
we're gonna do it.
The mortgage industry offers you a lot of great opportunities to make good money. I mean, just think about it. Like commissions, $15,000-$20,000 for file. If you close 10 files in 1 month, which isn't that hard, you can imagine how much money you can make, and you could help a lot of families. And then you could train your team and even make more scale, and just spread the wealth. Like our friend Bobby says. Sharing is caring.
No, he says Sharon is Karen.
Yeah, Sharon is Karen.
Karen?
Yeah, Sharon is Karen.
Karen who?
So if somebody wants to go to that thing, what do they do?
All right, reach out to me at the Willie Escobar. Send me a message or call my office. Ask for my wife, Christine, because she will take your credit card information. And that number is 626-346-2230. Monday through Friday, if anything, send me a DM on Instagram. At the Willie Escobar, and we'll take care of you.
Yeah, and then also don't forget, folks, go follow Albert Preciado. I saw you giving $700 away for, like, because you wanted to get to some certain number, and I started laughing my ass off. I'm like, why is Albert giving away $700?
Oh, and
it's not like the $100,000 giveaway. It's like, hey, I'm giving away $700.
And also anyone that wants to join the company, careers@themortgageguys.com.
Folks, appreciate you coming up. Are you awesome. Driving right back down?
No, we're spending the night.
You are? You staying the night? Yep. All right. Well, cool.
I thought you were going to take us out.
Hey, maybe. You got to renew your friendship money.
Dude, I brought you the Rari.
No. You did? You leaving that behind? Yeah. As long as I got that, we're friends, sucker. All right, awesome. Folks. Hey, listen, go out and share this. Listen, if you guys are not making a bunch of money, want to make a shift, want to make a jump, go check him out. You can also go to his 3-day academy. Just go to freaking Elite Mortgage Academy. And by the way, there's an interactive version coming that will literally teach anybody in any city, state, or country how to do what they did virtually, and then you can come to the live events to get the hand rubs and back massages.
They
and
get all, me for 3 whole days.
Yeah, and all the lovey-dovey shit. But if you just want how to do it and you don't need to come to Pasadena, you don't want to come to Pasadena, you don't want to freaking travel, guess what? Go to EliteMortgageAcademyAnyway.com. Go there anyway because you might find a virtual, interactive, on-demand version of the same thing very soon. And right now also, Driven Academy, since we're doing a double plug.
Driven Academy.
Yeah, dude, Driven Academy. If you want to know that, go to Driven Academy. And by the way, when your shit's done, it should be in Driven Academy and vice versa. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Because, dude, there's shit in his and, you know, it's awesome. Welcome to the fam bam.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brad.
Appreciate you coming.
Hey, Brad, really quick, we really appreciate, you know, everything you do for us and a lot of people, man, because you told me, like, Albert, you should stop coaching people one-on-one, then traveling, spend more time with your family, and you just put it virtually, and you could reach a lot more people, help a lot more people, and then I didn't listen to you in the beginning, and then I listened to you. I just got your service, but I didn't apply it, and in the last month and a half, I've just been dedicated to applying it, and we have so many subscribers, man. We went from like 20 subscribers to like 300 and something. And it's just crazy. It's like every day I get emails, like another one. Every hour we're getting like new subscribers. So like your Lightspeed system, it's like it's almost like a, you know when you go to like a, I don't know if you've ever been to a strip club, but
like plenty.
When you see like the sixes, the fives, and then you see like a 10 plus, and you're like, wow, that's the one that I want to get dance from. Lightspeed is a 10 plus.
Hey there, you guys heard?
Drop that,
folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making Dropping Bombs top rated podcast. Share this out, and I appreciate you. As always, keep it real.
All right.
This is Dropping Bombs with the real Brad Lee. Subscribe at Dropping Bombs.